Bush and Richie here with your Daily Takeaway podcast. We've got a bit of intel for you that's just come in on our Absolute Radio Presenters WhatsApp group.
Yeah.
Basically, normally used for people moaning about the computer system not working. our lovely Dan Noble has been out and about today in central London. And what he's done, he stopped off in Golden Square, our old home for Absolute Radio, and has gone around and taken a few photos of what, you know, the major rooms were where we lived our lives in one Golden Square, such as the studio and the office looked like. And it's quite hard viewing, isn't it?
It really is. It's upsetting. It's bleak, isn't it?
It looks like, you know, like when they revisit somewhere after there's been a bit of a war zone and all the windows are blown in.
Yes.
Looks a bit like that. Chairs on the floor. Studio One, our main studio for Absolute Radio that we've all spent many, many happy years. It looks like someone who's running an organised crime outfit has had to leave very quickly.
It does look like there's upturned chairs in there, are real. But still bits of desk.
Look at the desk that we used to use.
Yeah.
Over there, we've who have we interviewed? Depeche Mode have leaned on that desk to lean in further and talk about Las Vegas, for
yes.
example.
Yeah, very good point.
The famous people have been in, spoken, leant on that desk, and now it's just on its side in the corner. It's quite sad.
Not to make it all negative, the good side of things is, whilst he was outside the building, he discovered that the blue plaque that we put up is still outside Golden Square.
So unbelievable. I feel so bad for doubting everyone. I genuinely, and I'm just saying this for effect, I thought it'd be nicked the night we put it out there.
Yeah.
Taken away, but it's still going strong.
Months on.
This is Bush and Rich's Daily Takeaway.
So let me tell you this. Producer Nick was telling me about something unusual he did at the cinema last week.
Well,
he stood up for himself. Apparently he was watching a movie. He's here now, so it's a bit awkward me just saying this on his behalf. But I'll speak for him. He was watching a movie in the cinema, probably a Nick film, an arty one or something. A rerun of Gandhi or something. And anyway, there was these two idiots chatting away in the background, which I think you see more and more now, where people will pay, what, 15 quid to go and watch a film and talk really loud all the way through it.
Immediately I'm annoyed.
I'm annoyed on this behalf, even just even thinking back about it. And I believe them to be Citibanker types. You know the score. They wear those blue shirts with three-quarter length skin tight chinos, no socks, slip-on shoes, and then a gilet over the top.
Ah,
you know those people?
Yeah.
See them in Farringdon and stuff in London. Anyway, they're talking all the way through the film. Nick's getting more and more wound up. Like I say, he's over there, but I'll talk on his behalf. And then at one point, he snaps, and he turns around to him and says, "Would you shut the hell up? You're ruining the film for everyone. Shut up." And they both stop.
That's great.
And if anything, they're quite apologetic. And, like, I just want to applaud this because I think I've just turned into a bit of a coward with, like, I feel like people should stand up for themselves more. And maybe, because you always fear that there's someone's going to have a knife or it's going to go awful or escalate in a way that you weren't expecting, I feel like I don't stand up for myself as much as I used to.
I feel like I've started doing it more as I've got older.
Really? What kind of situation? You won't settle for certain bad behaviour. Is that what it is?
Public
situation?
Yeah. Train, recently, going home. There was some just kids messing around with the doors, like holding the doors open every time we got to a station.
Yeah, that's a wind-up.
That was a wind-up, and it was after the show, and there was just loads of people we're all just trying to get home. We all just want to get home. And every single stop, they're holding the doors open, and the driver's coming on going, "We can't go anywhere until the door's shut, guys."
Because of some Herberts.
I just punched. I said, "Lads, we all just want to go home. Can you just stop it?"
I like your approach there. You've gone for the kind of, I'm a bit like you, PE yeah. teacher. Cool PE teacher.
And do you know what? They stopped.
Maybe I'll do a bit more. I should do it a little bit. I always worry that the one that gets me the most on the train always is someone who listens to their terrible drum and bass music through their pants phone, really loud. And I always want to turn around and say something, but I think to myself, I don't want to end up in the Daily Mail. Do you know what I mean?
Noise cancelling headphones helps with that one.
Not another show where I'm doing, having a bottle of ears.
Two in a row.
Two in a row for me for that. But look, if you stood up for yourself in whatever capacity in the past few weeks or months or recently, and it felt good, do tell us about it. Peter says he got a boy kicked off the bus for vaping. He said, I challenged him and he told me to get lost, a stronger word in the text. So I got the driver involved and he got kicked off. This is good. This is kind of like superhero behaviour, isn't it? Low-level superhero. Simon says, I've got a friend who, if he sees someone throw rubbish from a car, will go and pick it up and throw it back through the window. Weirdly enough, when I first started working at Absolute Radio, Tony Hadley, mm-hmm. Spandau Ballet, told me a story about how he was walking down the street in London somewhere, saw someone chuck some rubbish out of their car window. He picked it up, walked along, stuffed it back into their, you know, driver. driver's side thing. Imagine Tony Hadley from Spandau Ballet doing that to you and you're on the street in traffic. You learn your lesson, wouldn't you?
Heather in Warrington says doing her weekly shop was loading the conveyor belt with all her shopping. A lady came and started to load her shopping onto the conveyor belt. She's still loading hers, though. She says, I had half a trolley to go with next to no space. At first, I started to push hers back just a little. But in the end, I told her she should wait until the person in front has finished unloading. She's very apologetic.
We should make a note of this and find a word for it at some point.
Yes.
Because it's a thing that people do. They put stuff on the conveyor belt way too early. So we'll maybe deal with that on a Thursday night soon here on Home Time. Right, let's go to the phones. We've got Claire with a situation that's happened very recently. Claire, what happened?
Driving home in traffic, watching a lady. Her dog's doing a poo on the pavement. That's fine. I see her look down at it, walk off. That enrages me. I've got a dog, that's not on. So I turn the car around, do a 3-point turn, drive after her, put the window down and remind her that she needs to clean up after her dog.
Oh, wow,
which
well
she
done.
She tells me he's... Oh, thank you, but she tells me the dog's got diarrhoea, which is not an excuse, so I offer her a poo bag, which she takes, walks back and cleans up.
Good
I'm
on
very
you.
Happy.
Well done, Claire.
That is incredible, because as someone who still pushes... my youngest is still in the buggy, so we're wheeling the buggy around in Leon Sea a lot. The amount of times you go through dog poo and you get it all over the wheels, and I know that's not all dog owners, and it's just a bad few ruining it for everybody else, isn't it?
It is, and I'm not going to lie, that was something that I added. I did say... There's children, you need to clean up after your dog. It's not fair.
Get in there.
Now, and she was rather embarrassed.
It's interesting. This is a big one, right? I have an alleyway near my house. That's a walk down.
Yeah.
There's been problem with dogs down there as well. Yeah. So I actually printed out on my printer upstairs at home a little sign saying, please pick up your dog poo, and then did three of them, laminated them and pinned them up down the alleyway.
That's the next level there, Claire. If that you see that lady again, get down the local printers. Snappy snaps.
I will.
This person doesn't leave their name, but it's a great story. You say, I was in Morrison. Some woman had her stuff to be scanned, but she went and did more shopping. You have that when people go off and get more things, like you can just pause the shopping. The cashier removed her stuff so we could proceed with our purchases. She came back and was absolutely kicking off. It was incredible scenes. But they had the moral high ground, so good on you. This text says, I once saw a lady picking daffodils that were growing on the roadside verge. I wound down the window and said, excuse me, those flowers are for everyone to enjoy. And only now I realise how pompous I must have sounded.
Self-awareness is good.
It is, yeah. It's a rare commodity.
Caroline, you've stood up to somebody.
I was at St Albans Cathedral seeing the Beatles by candlelight, and there was a couple of ladies behind me in their 50s who were chatting as if they were at a coffee morning all the way through the first half. And towards the end, I just couldn't, my blood was boiling, I couldn't deal with it anymore. So I turned around and said, ladies, please, can you just be quiet? You've chatted the whole way through. Can you just, it's just spoiling it for everybody. It's not the time, it's not the place. If you want to go and chat, go and do it outside and have a drink. And the lady next to me, who I didn't know, tapped me on the shoulder and she said, I'm really glad you did that because they were driving me mad. But I then sat for the rest of the performance feeling like they were just staring into the back of my head. So I just felt so awkward.
Which they probably were.
I imagine they were.
But I just...
Well, a good thing to do, though. I mean, this is the point of what we've been talking about this hour on Home Time, is that I think loads of people wish they had the guts to do what you did. But for something in our genetic makeup in this country where we just don't like causing a scene, isn't that right, Caroline?
I know. I felt so awkward. And my husband was just like, oh, God, I'm glad you did it. But did you have to do it? Because it was just so, yeah, it was really, really. But I just couldn't stand it anymore. And there's so many live performances you go to and live music where people just chat all the way through it. And it's drives me nuts.
Can we just talk a little bit about Beatles by Candlelight? What exactly is that? Was it like an orchestra? Because obviously it's not the actual Beatles.
I feel like they've missed an opportunity. They could have called it the badly lit Beatles.
Yeah. It was really bad. It was really bad, actually. And to make it matters worse, we didn't go back in the second half. Neither did any of our friends, so it was so poor. It was like show tunes style Beatles. And Candlelight was all plastic, you know.
What a scene you guys caused, though. You went to the first half, got into an argument with a pair of old ladies, then disappeared.
It was shocking, and I got my money back because I complained. It was awful. Yeah, it was a treat for my husband for his birthday, and it was awful.
Don't mess with Caroline.
I don't recommend it. I know, that's what he always says, don't mess with her.
The Daily Takeaway.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
10 weeks of tickets.
And can you believe it? We've reached the halfway point on 10 weeks of tickets. And this week on the Dave Berry Breakfast Show and here on Home Time, we're giving you the chance to win tickets for the Isle of Wight Festival. And you know that. It's just a great festival. It runs from the 20th to the 23rd of June. Features some brilliant bands including Keen, Blossom, Suede, The Pretenders and more. And you can win your tickets by playing a little game that we like to call Bush and Richie's Lucky Island.
You are going to hear all about an island. It won't be the Isle of Wight. But if you can work out which it is, then it could be a lucky island for you, as it will win you tickets to the festival.
Now, it's fair to say, and this has been brought up in the office today, that yesterday's island was a little bit easy, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was. It's kind of like a pilot in a new comedy or a drama where you're just wanting to check that people get it and are fine with it.
He was just trying to get your range a little bit, I guess.
Yes. Yeah,
as so, a ranger.
Noted that everyone found it easy yesterday, so it's a lot harder today.
I'm feeling that this one could be the only connect of Lucky Island.
Thank you. So what is today's Lucky Island? This island is home to villages, yoga retreats and quiet sandy coves. Tricky, isn't it?
Yeah.
This island is found in the Mediterranean Sea.
Okay, it doesn't narrow it down.
Not really. This island is probably most well known for major European nightclubs having their summer outposts, giving it its reputation for a lively nightlife.
There it is. One of you guys is about to win tickets to the Isle of Wight Festival, and we've just found some biscuits that have been left over from a meeting. Time for Bush and Richie's Lucky Islands. All you need to do is guess the mystery islands that Richie has cryptically put forward. They're like the Enigma device of a few different clues about its location to win your way to the Isle of Wight Festival. It's that simple.
The irony is I'm not feeling particularly lucky right now because you found these biscuits from a leftover meeting whilst making a cup of tea, and I turned down the offer for a cup of tea.
I know, you won't have a biscuit without a cup of tea.
No, I can't. I find it very dry without a cup of tea.
I mean, we'll get into this properly when the song's on. it's quite a big thing for us in this show.
Contestant this evening is Julie. How are you, Julie?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good to have you on, Julie. Question, can you have a biscuit just on its own or do you have to have a cup of tea with it?
Oh, got to have a cup of tea with it.
Correct, Julie. Fair correct enough. Answer.
What's your favourite kind of biscuit then, Julie?
Oh, it's got to be a hobnob.
Oh, there's no hobnobs. It's just got ginger nuts and digestives up there. Felt like they must have been giving blood upstairs.
A digestive on its own? No way. You've got to have that with a tea. Anyway, look.
Anyway.
Lucky Island. Forget about the drama of the biscuits. Julie, so this island, home to yoga retreats and quiet sandy coves, found in the Mediterranean Sea, and also quite well known for major European nightclubs having their summer outposts, giving it a reputation for a lively nightlife.
It is. It is Ibiza.
Yes, it is Ibiza. What about that?
I've just come back from there a few weeks ago.
How did you find it? Because obviously Richie and I went out to Ibiza to DJ as part of the thing we did on Home Time a little while back. And obviously it's for different people, isn't it? It's for people who are going out, because we were getting up at dad time at 7 in the morning wondering why the pool was closed till 10 o'clock in the morning. Do you know what I mean? Did you enjoy it?
I loved it, yes. I love Ibiza.
Did you go for the yoga retreat or for the nightclub?
Oh, I just went for a nice relaxing week.
Show me age. I think Julie was absolutely off at a manumission. Don't even think that's still a thing anymore, is it?
Julie, you are going to go to the Isle of Wight Festival. Congratulations.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Wow.
Well done. Who'd have thought your holiday would win you even further prizes? We play Lucky... How do you feel that went, Lucky Islands, tonight?
Better than yesterday.
It may get even tougher on tomorrow's show. You can win more tickets. Can someone tell me an updated nightclub cultural reference point for Ibiza? Because I think I've done the manumission joke a few times. I think someone pointed out to me it's been gone for like 20-odd years. So, bear in mind, we've DJed in one.
Yes.
But that wasn't like a nightclub.
No, that was...
Bambuku.
Yeah, that was it. Well, good memory.
I'm learning. We play again tomorrow, by the way.
Not the DJing.
No. I think our days with that and Ibiza are done. Yeah. That was forward.
This is the Daily Takeaway.
Now, about a month ago, for my birthday, I got myself a bike. And as I lurch from midlife crisis to midlife crisis, it's fair to say that I've really taken this up over the last month or so.
Yes.
And I've joined Strava, which I see a lot of the cyclists do and all that kind of stuff.
Does a cycle ride even happen if you don't post it on social media on Strava?
Quite agree, just so people can see your average speed and the distance you've gone and all that kind of thing. Well, anyway, I am very proud to announce this evening that after a ride that I did earlier on today, I got an alert telling me that I have become a local legend.
brilliant.
Isn't that fantastic?
Isn't that amazing?
So I thought, well, what does this mean? I don't actually know what this means. So I looked into it. This legendary status that I have is that I am the best person locally at a particular cycling segment, a very steep hill, and it's labelled locally, real men don't use brakes.
What a strange phrase.
Well, because it's a very steep hill, and I am the best at going down this hill.
Yeah.
I'm not the best at climbing it up. I'm the best at going down it.
Maybe there's a future in bobsleigh for you and you didn't even realise
it. I think there could be, and I think actually the more I talk about it, there is actually a bit of a backhanded compliment here in that I'm the best at going down a hill. And I've done my physics, you know, heavy lumps do go down hills very, very quickly.
Hey, but look, no one's taking that award away from you. Do you
no,
know what
exactly.
I mean? That's yours.
You know, that is my award. Local legend. No one locally is better at going down that particular hill than me.
It's nice to have it official, because you might think you're the best at something, but it's never been kind of verbalised
exactly.
Or put into an email for you. Do you know what I mean?
And quite often, you know deep down, I am the best at this, you know, locally. You have these niche little things. For me, it's that particular hill. But you know, but I've had it, you know, put in times. Is there something that you would have locally that you kind of think, no one's better than me at this?
Well, this is cycling based as well, but this was back in Bristol when I used to live in Bristol. I did the GWR Bristol breakfast show for 10 years and lived in Fishponds, and it was like a 25-minute cycle into the radio station at like 4:30 in the morning to get in to do it. But I used to use the Bristol Baths cycle path.
Yes.
And I'm not kidding you, my entire time doing that breakfast show and cycling every day, no one ever overtook me.
Really?
I used to call my flat a fixed gear racer bike Shadowfax, which is the name of Gandalf's horse in Lord of the Rings. And to this day, no one ever overtook me.
10 years of not being overtaken.
And the shame of it all.
That's
is
incredible.
No one got to know about that, because I'm the only person that was aware of that. There was no, I don't think there was Strava at those in those days.
There wouldn't have been. No.
Where's my badge I can put on the app?
I'll give you a posthumous one.
That'd be great. Thank you. Well, I haven't died.
No. All right, what's the word? You know, it's posthumous.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought that's when someone's dead.
I'll look into it. You're a local legend in my eyes.
Backdate it.
Yeah. A big thank you to all the people in the last 5 minutes. I'm new to all this Strava business. Loads of people obviously heard me mention Strava and they've gone to find me. I've got a load of new people following me on Strava.
Look at all those followers.
Yeah. Paul, Tony Pinkney, Mark Young, Craig Rouse has given me kudos, whatever that means.
I don't know what that is. I hope he doesn't want something back in return.
Yeah, but this is all because Strava have told me I've become a local legend at a particular hill locally. So if you are a local legend at something and want to brag about it, get in touch.
I was just saying earlier on that I was unovertaken for 10 years on the Bristol Bath cycle path when I was doing a radio show back there in Bristol, and you were offering to get me a posthumous.
A posthumous local legend, yes. I'm prepared to give you that.
Joe says, I don't know what you've done with Bush, but a posthumous award is definitely something you get when you're dead. So I'll leave that one be for the time being.
Retrospective might be a better word.
I'll take retrospective.
Carl says, I'm a local legend on the Treetop Trail at Moores Valley Country Park. Probably one of those great big sort of like adventure things. That sounds great.
What, like on a bike? Is he? Well, what? Doing what?
He doesn't make clear, but he's a local legend. If it's a treetop trail, I don't think you're going to get a bike up on one of those treetop trails, are you?
Well, I don't know, but he needs to clarify what he's doing. Otherwise, it could be anything.
Clarifications aren't important in life, my friend.
Well, weirdly enough, there is a clarification that's about to happen. We have Matt on the phone who has an important clarification for you, Richie,
right.
Don't you, Matt?
On Strava, local legend, it basically just means you've done that segment more times than anyone else over 90 days.
Like better than anyone else, or just is it a frequency thing?
No, purely frequency, nothing to do with ability whatsoever. You could be the slowest along it each time.
Wow, really,
that's
really socking to him there.
That's a bit brutal.
It's a bit like saying even a messed up clock is right twice a day type thing.
Yeah, he set himself up for a bit of a fall on that.
So to be clear, this isn't because I've done it well, it's just basically that I've done it.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
What a tough bit of Strava love Richie's had in this bit of the show.
Wow, okay. Well, you live and learn, thank you.
That's all right.
We've been offering you the chance to brag on the show tonight. If you've become a local legend, you know that you have that status somehow. I have it because I've started going on Strava and it's told me that I'm the, well, it turns out not the best.
We've had this clarified, yeah. I guess, this evening that you've just gone down that road quite a few times.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's told me that I'm the person who does it the most, not necessarily the best at it. But if you are a local legend, let us know. Holly, what have you got that local legend status us for?
So I'm a local legend in my village because me and my family won the Scarecrow Festival in 2022.
The Scarecrow Festival 2022. What village? Where was that?
It was in Charnock Richard.
Isn't that a services somewhere?
There's other stuff there, though. There's a few houses.
Oh, right, OK.
And tell us about you still sound to this day very proud of your scarecrow. What kind of scarecrow was it that made it so good?
My biggest achievement. So it was Jack Sparrow and the Black Pearl.
Oh, wow.
Of Pirates of the Caribbean. It was epic. And we even have music in the background. It was epic.
And what did you get for that? Because obviously Richie's got his little Strava badge and everything.
Yeah.
So we got a £50 voucher to our little local pub called the Dog and Partridge, so we went and had a nice slap-up meal.
Oh, wow.
Everything about Charnock Richard sounds fantastic. They have a scarecrow competition, they've got a pub called the Dog and Partridge, and a motorway services.
A brilliant service station.
Everything, a brilliant service station, that's what everybody says. Is it not just services? No, there's a lot going on.
Can we ask you a question? Obviously, you were big in 2022, everyone was talking about your scarecrow. What's happened since then? Where's the silver one?
So, well, obviously there's a plaque in the Dog and Partridge that's got our name on, which I always go and look at when we go in with the kids. Nothing happened last year, cancelled, but this year we've got plans, but yeah.
You are still really the reigning holder and you're defending this year.
I am. It's great.
Oh, man, well, when is it? Keep us posted, because we'd love to find out on Home Time. When is the main event?
I think it's about the 15th of September. It's usually like mid-September, so yeah.
Brilliant. Well, forget Sky Sports News. That's what we want to be all over.
Breaking news.
Loads of people can go and drive and park in the services.
Yeah.
Watch your scarecrow.
Have a walk around the village, so, yeah.
This is Bush and Rich's Daily Takeaway.
We've been talking about standing up for yourself and standing up to bad behaviour tonight on the show. Diane has emailed to say, Bush and Richie, I'm quite good at speaking up. If something needs to be said, my partner is the opposite. I was heavily pregnant. We went to the cinema. Some older teens were talking non-stop and messing around. So I asked them to be quiet. Then they all started going shh really loudly and taking the mickey. My partner said, she's asking you nicely. Can you stop talking, please? They continued chatting loudly. So my usually mild-mannered fella slowly stood up, walked over to where they were sitting, got the Coke he was drinking and tipped it over the head of the main lad.
Oh, dear.
She adds, anyway, we got thrown out.
Wow.
So sometimes swings and roundabouts, it doesn't always pan out.
Escalated there. Our latest hero is Lachlan. What did you do?
Well, it was a while ago. I was in Cowcaddens Underground Station.
Oh,
aye. And a guy was sitting with a black suit on smoking. And an old lady said to him, hey, could you stop that, please? And he swore at her. And this other guy said, don't speak to that old lady like that. So the two of them started having a bit of an argument. And then it got to sort of shoving each other back and forward. And now I'm quite a big guy, but I'm not a fighter at all. But what I did was I stood in between them and I says, look, if the two of you don't stop your nonsense, somebody could fall under a train. Now you go to that side of the platform and you go to that side before I batter the two of you.
I wasn't expecting that.
No.
I had long hair and I had a biker jacket and a big beard at the time, so that went in my favour, you know.
Amazing. What's the fella called from Harry Potter?
Dumbledore.
I haven't called that before. But
it's like Dumbledore popping up and just breaking a fight up. That's amazing. What a way. It's like how my mum used to deal with me and my brother when we used to play up when we were kids.
Well, exactly. That's what me and my brother used to get off my mum as well.
The Daily Takeaway.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
So there's the podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. Just to return back to the photos that Dan Noble sent us of a very empty-looking One Golden Square old home on Absolute Radio, we could have rented it out for someone else. It's still sat there dormant.
Yes.
What could you do in there? Could have had it a soft play or... You know, like you can get those places where you can rent somewhere to sleep for a bit.
I tell you what it'd be sleep really pots. Good for, looking at the moment, is turning it into a quasar.
Quasar would be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Bit of dry ice in there, somewhere to charge up your battery pack, be quids in.
Lots of obstacles, darkness.
Consider it done.